It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seewert. Pedestrian deaths increased by 50% last year. It's a trend we're seeing in states throughout the country. That's according to a new report from the Governor's Highway Safety Association. But the big question is why and what can be done to change course. Call in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Angie Schmidt is the author of Right of Way, Race, Class, and the Silent Epidemic of Pedestrian Deaths in America. It was published in 2020 by Island Press. Angie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So according to the Governor's Highway Safety Association, pedestrian deaths have jumped 77% in the past decade. Does that number surprise you?
A little bit, yes. My book was published about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and at that time they were up about 50%. So yes, the dramatic increase just over the last few years actually does surprise me a little bit.
I mean, do you usually see things getting safer instead of less safe? What about that?
Yes, we do. That's the thing. In traffic safety, the pattern since the 1970s, since we started requiring seatbelts and airbags, has been that outcomes gradually get better. We're supposed to be getting better at this. So this is very unusual to have this sustained increase.
Wisconsin is one of 24 states where pedestrian deaths are growing. Here we saw a 28% increase in pedestrian deaths for the first half of 2021 to 2022. What factors are behind all this? How did we get here?
Sure. Yeah. So the long-term rise, what I explain in my book, there's a number of sort of social trends happening at the same time that are all bad news on this issue. So one of them is that the population is aging a little bit, so we're a little more vulnerable. We also have more lower-income folks living in the suburbs and living in the Sun Belt, and both of those areas are more dangerous places to walk than some of our older cities that were built before sort of the auto era in the United States. And then thirdly, and most importantly, we're driving bigger cars than we did in the past. We have a lot more SUVs. Our pickup trucks are much, much bigger than they were in the 90s or even a decade ago. So people are being hit with heavier vehicles, higher on their bodies, where they're more likely to be sort of pushed under the car and run over.
You mentioned cities that are more dangerous places to walk. What do you mean?
So the most dangerous places to walk in the United States are typically Sunbelt cities. And those are cities that sort of didn't grow until after the invention of air conditioning. And they were built at the height of the auto era, sort of around the time we're building the interstate highway system in the United States. So a lot of their streets are really wide and a lot of their land use patterns are really sprawling. And it's led to really dangerous conditions for walking in those cities.
We're talking about the spike in pedestrian deaths over the past decade. With us is Angie Schmidt, the author of Right of Way, Race, Class, and the Silent Epidemic of Pedestrian Deaths in America. Fascinating book. So these pedestrian deaths are happening everywhere, but it seems like these certain areas are more prone. What about rural areas? Are we seeing it there too?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the latest data says about that. One thing that we do know is that pedestrians in cities, a lot of times, either close to half or even in some cases, a majority of the traffic deaths will be pedestrian deaths. Rural areas can be very dangerous areas as far as traffic safety. A lot of people, rural people, do get killed in car crashes, but they're a little bit more likely to be driving. But some of the conditions that do make it dangerous for pedestrians are definitely present in rural areas, like lack of sidewalks, lack of street lighting. It's just that fewer people usually are walking in rural areas.
How does vehicle speed factor into whether a pedestrian will be killed in this kind of issue?
Speed is the most important factor. So a pedestrian who is struck at 40 miles per hour is more likely than not to be killed. But if they're struck at 20 miles per hour, they almost always survive. So controlling speeds, even controlling for a few miles per hour slower, some data shows that for every mile per hour reduced, there's about a 6% reduction in the fatality rate.
So what other factors are common in pedestrian fatalities? Night versus day, people in crosswalks. What are we talking about here?
Right, yes. So night is a huge factor. About 3 in 4 pedestrian deaths happen at night. There's also certain groups that are more vulnerable. One thing I talk about in my book is that this issue is a little like we're discovering with a lot of public health problems, where some of the issues with inequality and racism in our society sort of come through in the data. So, Black people and Native people are much more likely to be killed than white or Asian people, but also other demographic groups. Older people are more likely to be killed while walking, people who live in lower income neighborhoods. And there's also some evidence that other groups, like people with disabilities or homeless people, are at increased risk.
Why is that? Just because they're less able to take, a car somewhere, or I mean, what plays into that?
Yeah, I think yes, that is part of it, that lower income people, for example, would be more likely to rely on the bus, right? Especially in areas that are a little bit hostile to pedestrians. But also, we haven't been doing a good job designing the system for those kind of folks. We've really catered to like who we think of as a typical person. And that might be, a middle-aged man who drives his car to work on the highways. We've really catered to that kind of person. And people who don't really fit into that mold quite are a little bit, their needs are a little bit neglected. So someone who's like a new immigrant, who may be elderly, or someone who's retired, again, someone who has a mobility disability, those people often aren't getting the things they need from the system, like simple accommodations like curb ramps or bus stops that are well lighted and placed near a safe crossing.
Kenneth from Beloit called with a question. Kenneth wonders if Wisconsin is unique in having a law that requires cars to stop for pedestrians. Do you know?
You know what? That's a good question. The laws do vary state to state. And I don't know Wisconsin's law very well, but it could be that it has stronger protections for pedestrians than other states. And I would think that's a good thing. There are some states where even if a pedestrian is in a crosswalk, there are certain exclusions where a driver can get away with not yielding. And that's almost never enforced, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny because Kenneth talks about the law, and I live in Wausau, and I mean people just don't stop for people in the cross. I mean, if you're in the crosswalk, you're gonna get honked at or something. But yet you go to other communities like Minocqua, they always stop, and yeah, it does vary from state to state. It's really interesting there. I don't know. I mean, do you think that that kind of law could, if those were enforced on a more aggressive level, that it would have an impact?
So you're right that, well, there's a lot of studies that show, including I worked with a researcher out of Wisconsin on my book, that show that drivers are really terrible at yielding to pedestrians. I don't even think some drivers understand that if they have a green light and they're turning, they do need to watch for and yield to pedestrians at crosswalks in a lot of locations. So like I said, it's almost never enforced. And I do think we could do a better job, definitely. I don't know. And occasionally in some places around the country, they will do these kind of stings where they have an undercover officer crossing, and usually they're issuing a warning the first time, but there really is a lack of awareness, and in our culture, a lot of hostility to pedestrians.
There sure is. I mean, I can tell you that for sure. Angie Schmidt is a writer and expert on sustainable transportation. She's the author of Right of Way, Race, Class, and the Silent Epidemic of Pedestrian Deaths in America. Call 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. We continue our discussion on pedestrian safety in light of a report that found pedestrian deaths are increasing nationwide up to 50% in Wisconsin from 2021 to 2022. How is this problem solved? Call 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Angie Schmidt is the author of Right of Way, Race, Class, and the Silent Epidemic of Pedestrian Deaths in America. Your book, Right of Way, looks at the role that race and class play in pedestrian deaths. We touched on this a little bit already, but I want to ask you to expand on that a little bit. Why is this such an issue that involves both race and class?
Yeah, well, it has to do, it has to do with who's sort of being forced to rely on an inadequate sort of safety environment, right? So I think a lot of people who are a little more privileged, a little more well off, they're just not put in the position of having to cross sort of a 7-lane high speed road to get to a bus that only comes once every hour, right? And I think if more wealthy people sort of were put in that position, we wouldn't stand for it. So we see there's studies that have shown, you know, there's less safety infrastructure in low-income neighborhoods, neighborhoods of color, and those are really the neighborhoods that need it most. So even communities that have focused a lot on trying to improve safety for people who walk and bike, if it's not targeted to the neighborhoods that need it most, really isn't going to help resolve the issue.
Jill from Oconomowoc called. She noticed that many cars don't actually stop at crosswalks and intersections. They just pull right into them. So if they're stopping at a stoplight, they're pulling right into them. And she feels like it seems like a recent development. I mean, do you feel like this puts pedestrians more at risk? And what can, well, I mean, it does, right? Because they're in the crosswalk. But what do you think can be done about that?
Right, I agree. There's a lot of agreement that that problems with reckless driving and aggressive driving and speeding got worse during the pandemic, and that has contributed to a rise in traffic deaths. So one thing that seems to be going on is there's less enforcement after 2020 and the George Floyd protests, obviously bringing to light a lot of the problems with the way we've done traffic enforcement. But also it seems to be just kind of a consequence of some sort of fraying of our social fabric, sort of our norms around how we're supposed to behave as a society have eroded a little bit. And I think it goes back before this. I don't think our norms were very pro-social or healthy around the way we treated pedestrians before this. But unfortunately, it seems to have gotten worse. And there's a lot of influences in our culture. Like you think of these movies that are marketed to young men that are all about car racing and everything. There's sort of a condoning of some behavior that's really dangerous and has some really awful consequences for ordinary people, because about 40,000 people every year are killed in car crashes now. And now we're up to almost 8,000 pedestrian deaths a year. And that's to say nothing of the injuries that really change people's lives and cause a lot of additional harm.
We're talking about pedestrian safety with Angie Schmidt, a safety expert. She owns the Cleveland-based consulting firm 3MPH. I have to point out that pedestrian and bicyclist deaths have been declining in Europe for years. So how is street safety different between Europe and the United States? What are we doing differently here?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of things better. And in fact, it's in a lot of cases, obviously, they have a built environment that's a little more pedestrian friendly. Some of the cities in Europe, you know, are these kind of ancient cities that were never divided by freeway interchanges and that kind of thing. So they do have some advantages there, but also their policies are a little bit stronger. Like the United States, the World Health Organization has 5 recommendations on traffic safety, and the United States is in compliance with none of them. And in addition, we have been doing a bad job regulating our vehicles. So we have NHTSA in the United States, which regulates vehicles. There's pages and pages of rules for things about the way a bumper is shaped and how, you know, how airbags are sort of structured. But we've never regulated cars for pedestrian safety. That is supposed to change now as a result of the infrastructure bill. But even now with this big run-up, NHTSA has sort of been trying to avoid rating vehicles for pedestrian safety. So that 5-star vehicle rating system, we still allow cars, very dangerous cars for pedestrians that we know are much more likely to kill people on foot or bike. We still allow those cars to have 5-star vehicle safety rating systems. So we're not even informing the buyers that there's these additional risks.
In Europe, do they tell people, is that part of their process?
Yes, in Europe and Japan is another leader. So in Europe, one of the things they're doing across the European Union now, which is really interesting and could have a big impact, is they have something called intelligent speed assistance. So that means the car basically cannot speed. There, it's programmed that there's GPS, they know the speed limit, and it is just required to comply with the speed limit. So that technology is available on the shelf, and we just have not used it in the United States. We have about 10,000 pedestrian, or we have about 10,000 speeding deaths a year in the United States, and we're not using the available technology that could keep people safe. So in addition, in Japan and Europe, they have modified car designs to help protect pedestrians. For example, there are certain things that can be done to the hood, little airbags that sort of inflate, or more softer hoods and bumpers that can save pedestrians' lives. And again, we've never done that in the United States.
Wow. I mean, yeah, those things are things that I've never even heard that those things are, are even available. What about the size of SUVs? We have big SUVs and trucks, and they're bigger than what you see the SUVs in Europe.
Absolutely. That's a huge, huge factor. In my book, I say it's really the factor in this increase that we can point to most clearly. And it's gotten a lot worse in recent years. Some of the best-selling pickup trucks in the United States, like the Ford F-150, Ford F-250, this Chevy Silverado now, those are in the top three vehicles sold in the United States every year. They now have hoods that are 55 inches tall, which, to put in perspective, I'm about a tall to normal size woman. That would come up to about my chin. So not only is it going to hit me sort of in my chest and abdomen, with a lot of force. Also, there's some visibility concerns now with a lot of these large vehicles. There's this group called kidsandcars.org, and they did experiments and they found they could see like more than a dozen children in the front blind zone of some of the best-selling vehicles in the United States. So that's contributing as well. There's been sort of an arms race towards bigger and bigger vehicles on the part of especially American automakers.
What about street design? I mean, can local governments, state governments, work to decrease the number of pedestrian deaths immediately by changing street design?
Yes, there's a lot we can do to encourage safer driving with the way we design streets. So planners, that's I come from an urban planning background, engineers, there's all these different tricks. They may use speed humps, or you can narrow intersections so the, and change the curb radius so that it forces drivers to take turns a little bit slower. There's high visibility crosswalks. There's a lot we can do with street design. And actually, I think you do have a success story in Wisconsin with Madison. I believe Madison is one city that has invested a lot and is kind of bucking the trend here, and it's actually seen traffic deaths overall decrease substantially in the context of them rising across the country quite a bit.
We talked a little bit about Europe, and they really got serious about preventing pedestrian deaths about in the 90s. Do you really think it's going to happen here? Do you think we're going to get into this, where we've got policy, we've got changes on the horizon?
Well, I am hopeful. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is because I think it hasn't been thought of as an issue. The traffic deaths are just sort of this background noise of our lives. And people don't realize that this is a solvable problem. There's people like in Washington that are making decisions that are life and death for other people. Like, for example, NHTSA just punted on some reforms for trucking companies that, again, could save dozens of lives a year. There is some positive movement. Yes, there are things that I'm excited about. Like I said, in the infrastructure bill called for some reforms. I'm a little unhappy with the way NHTSA has proceeded on that. But there's also been a lot of changes in the engineering, in the traffic engineering sort of mentality. Traffic engineers have really sort of changed their attitude about this. 10 years ago, it was all about vehicle throughput and capacity. And now there really is a lot more understanding of sort of the safety weaknesses that are built into the system. So I think there really are opportunities, and it is something we could address with the right level of commitment.
Angie, I want to thank you for being here today and sharing this information with us. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Angie Schmidt is a writer. She is an expert on sustainable transportation and the author of Right of Way, Race, Class, and the Silent Epidemic of Pedestrian Deaths in America. It was first published in 2020 by Island Press. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.